The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
She sees the heavens open up. She sees angelic beings. And then she gets this puzzled look on her face. She said, wait a minute. Why is Vida with my father? Her sister had died 2 weeks earlier, but no one had told Doris. Because Doris was ill, they didn't want the shock to kill her. So they withheld the news that her sister Vida had died. And yet, on her deathbed, she sees Vida in the realm to come. Wow.
Lee Strobel challenges the way we may think about the unseen world.
I'm excited we're together. I'm James Robinson, my wife Betty, both of us welcome you to life today. I'm excited because Lee Strobel, a great writer, written many million-selling books, he was an atheist, and he went out to prove and justify his atheism, but he decided he had to investigate Jesus. And Jesus investigated him and transformed him. And he wrote Seeing the Supernatural. We talked about it, and you'll want to get this book. Today we're going to talk about the supernatural that awaits us. And Lou, I glanced down here at, you know, some of the titles, Deathbed Visions, Extraordinary Near-Death Experiences. What can we know about heaven? I want to ask you, would you tell us just a little bit that you've learned that we can know about heaven? But then he's going to talk about several other of the supernatural things that await us. I promise you, he's going to bless you. You might want to call some friends and say, turn the television on Life Today right now, because you're going to get life today. Lee, can you touch on that?
You know, we get a glimpse of heaven through some of these amazing supernatural experiences that are well documented. In other words, this isn't just something that's coming from somebody's imagination. So I'll give you a couple examples that blew my mind when I investigated them. First one are near-death experiences. I was skeptical about this. I thought this sounds new age. A near-death experience is someone who's clinically dead, generally no heartbeat, no brain waves, no respiration, and yet they continue to live on. Their spirit separates from their body at the time of death. Mm-hmm. And sees things and hears things that would have been impossible for them to see or hear if they hadn't had an authentic out-of-body experience. This confirms what the Bible teaches, because Jesus said to the person being crucified with him on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. And the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So what happens when we die, when we physically die in this world, our soul, our spirit separates from our body. And if we're a follower of Jesus, we're in the presence of God in a sort of a temporary heaven until the consummation of history, when Jesus returns, when our spirit returns to our now resurrected body, and then we go through final judgment and we spend eternity in a very real and very physical heaven or hell if you're not a follower of Jesus. So this is confirmation that indeed we do have a soul, and it does continue to live on. I found 900 scholarly articles published in peer-reviewed medical and scientific journals into this phenomenon of near-death experiences.
Wow.
And here's why I know, because I'm trained in journalism and law. I'm looking for evidence and so forth. How do I know that this is authentic? We have numerous hundreds of cases where it would be impossible for the separated body, the soul, to see and hear what they saw or heard if this wasn't an out-of-body experience. I'll give you an example. There was a woman who was named Mary. She was dying. She's in London, England, Memorial Hospital. She's bleeding to death. They can't control it. She's declared dead. But she said later, I was conscious the whole time. My spirit separated from my body. And she said, I'm hovering near the ceiling of the room, watching as the paramedics are trying to resuscitate my body. And then, ultimately, they did resuscitate her body. They brought her back. Her spirit returned to her body. And here's the corroboration. She said, by the way, there's a ceiling fan here in the hospital room. On the top of one of the blades, you couldn't see it from the room. It's on the top of one of the blades. She saw it from her perspective, looking down. She said, there's a red sticker, which she described in great detail. There's just no way she could have known this. So they got a ladder. They went up. They looked in the top of the blade. Enough, here's a red sticker just as she described it. That's just one of hundreds of examples of cases where people see or hear things would have been impossible for them to see or hear. So this is confirmation. The Bible's telling us the truth. When we do have a spirit, we do have a soul. In fact, we are a soul who has a body. And when we die, our soul continues to live on. Fascinating case. Research by medical researchers, 21 blind people, most of them blind since birth. And yet, during their near-death experience, they could see, many of them for the first time. So, for example, this woman named Vicky Umapeg, 26 years old, blind virtually since birth. She's a passenger in a car. She gets in a car accident. She's killed in the car accident. But she said, I was conscious the whole time. And I could see, I'm watching the paramedics working on my body, trying to resuscitate me. I see trees, I see birds, I see plants, I see the world for the first time, I see people. And then they finally revived her body, her spirit returned, and she was blind again.
Wow.
One medical researcher, this is medically impossible, one medical researcher said. And yet we have 21 cases like this in the medical research area. Now, here's the key. John Burke, who's a friend of mine, he was a pastor in Austin, Texas. He's researched 1,500 of these cases. John documents, and I interview him for my book, so I have the documentation. If you look at not how people interpret the out-of-body experience, because people with different backgrounds interpret it differently. Set that aside. Just look at what actually takes place during a near-death experience. It is 100% consistent with the teachings of the Bible.
Wow.
So here we have a category of evidence for the supernatural that tells, at a minimum, this tells us the Bible is right. When we die, our spirit, our soul continues to live on. That's pretty good news.
Yes, it is.
Right?
Yes, it is.
But then there's another category that's similar, and people don't talk about this as much, but to me it's just as fascinating. Deathbed visions. This is a vision that someone has just before they die. And they see the heavens open, they see the realm to come. And it's biblical. Acts chapter 7, Stephen described as being full of the Holy Spirit. He's about to be stoned to death. He looks up, he sees the heavens open up, and he sees the Father and the Son together. So there's biblical precedent for this. But there have been literally tens of thousands of cases of people who are on their deathbed. They get a glimpse of what's to come. They studied 3,000 of them to try to determine, is this just something in their imagination? And they studied 3,000 cases, and they said, this is not wishful thinking. It's not a hallucination. It's not something conjured up from their thinking and so forth. Something is going on. And here's the corroboration. Sometimes people will see things in the realm to come that they didn't know were there. So I'll give an example. Well-documented case, Doris. Woman dying. She's on her deathbed. She sees the heavens open up. She sees angelic beings. She sees her father, who had died several years earlier, almost welcoming her to the realm to come. And then she gets this puzzled look on her face. She said, wait a minute. Why is Vita with my father? What's Vita doing there? What makes no sense? Why would Vita be there?
Now, who's Vita?
And then she died. Vita was her sister. Her sister had died 2 weeks earlier, but no one had told Doris because Doris was ill. They didn't want the shock to kill her. So they withheld the news that her sister Vita had died. Oh, and yet, on her deathbed, she sees Vita in the realm to come.
Wow.
That's corroboration. That tells me. And can I tell you something? I'm doing the research for this book. I get all excited when I do this. And I'm telling my wife, I said, honey, and I told her that story. She said, Lee, don't you remember what happened with my dad? I forgot 20 years ago, her father, who I led to the Lord in his last conversation before he died, but he's on his deathbed in hospice, and she comes to visit him, and he's got this look. He's agitated. He says, where's Marge? What do you mean? Marge was just here telling me about heaven. She was just here. I'm going to heaven. Where's Marge? Dad, Marge died. It was his sister. She died 2 days ago. We just haven't told you yet. No. She was here. She was just telling me about heaven. He had a pre-death vision, seeing his now deceased sister, who he didn't know had died, telling him about heaven.
Wow.
So This is corroboration. This tells me something. And by the way, talk to any hospice nurse. Mm-hmm. They'll tell you about how people reach up at the last moment as if to be. And what's interesting in the Bible, in Luke chapter 16, where Jesus is telling the story about Lazarus, a beggar who had died. And in verse 22, he says, angels carried Lazarus to his place of bliss in the presence of God. So often, dying people see angels coming for them. Mm-hmm. And here's the corroboration. Children who are dying see angels coming for them in a way you would not expect. Because if you ask, what would a five-year-old child, six-year-old child, what would their image of an angel be? Well, big wings and probably feathers. That's a caricature, but that's what a kid would see. That's not what they see. It's a well-documented case that I researched where this little girl was dying. And she says, Mommy, Mommy, they're coming for me. Do you see them? What are you talking about? The angels, they're in this room. They're so beautiful. Listen to their singing. Oh, I'm going with them. This is wonderful. And her mother didn't want to disappoint her. So she said, oh, I see the angels. Look at their big wings. And the little girl said, oh, Mommy, they don't have wings. And she went on to describe them in great detail. The Bible doesn't say that all angels have wings. And she described them in great detail. You would think if this is just something coming from her imagination, she would see angels like a caricature as a kid would, big wings and feathers or whatever. That's not what they see. This is a fascinating category, I think, that tells us there is a supernatural realm, there is a heaven, and that, in fact, one of my friends, who was Billy Graham's best friend, Chuck Templeton, Charles Templeton, who lost his faith at a liberal seminary, became a skeptic and atheist in Canada. And I interviewed him for my book, The Case for Faith, and I answered all his tough questions about faith. Well, anyway, most people don't know, he came back to faith before he died, he came back to Jesus. And on his deathbed, he called out to his wife, Madeline, what, honey? Do you see them? They're here for me. What are you talking about, Chuck? The angels, they're in this room. Look at their eyes. Their eyes are so beautiful. I'm going with them. I'm going home. I'm going to heaven. So Chuck Templeton saw these angels coming for him, this former skeptic, former atheist. So I just get excited when you talk about, you know, what do we know about heaven? We know a lot from Scripture about heaven. I don't get my theology about heaven from near-death experiences or deathbed visions, but they are confirmatory that indeed the Bible's telling us the truth. There is a realm beyond what we can see and touch and put in a test tube.
You know, I just want you to know the Father. And as one of His family, you'll be in heaven forever with all of His family, with me and Betty and with Lee and so many that you've just heard about. Johnny Cash was a really good friend of mine. Yeah. He wanted to be my singer. His mother wanted him to be my singer. I told him, no, you can't be my singer. I want you to go to Folsom Prison. I want you to go everywhere you can go. I want you to go to Las Vegas. I want you to do your thing. Point him to Jesus. Yeah. He did. But one of the most powerful things in Johnny's life was the memory of when his brother died. Mm-hmm. And he died as a teenager. He was cut through the sternum in a shop class with a circle saw. He was dying. They couldn't give him water. But Johnny said, you know, James and his mom standing right there, we watched Jack, and he just looked up in the corner and his face just shone like a light and said, Mama, don't you see him? Don't you see him? Do you see him, Mom? Johnny, you see him? See what? The angels. Can't you see them? Can't you see them? Mm. And Johnny said, nothing ever made such an impact on me as seeing the brother I loved so much and who loved me so much, knowing that he left, seeing the angels and in heaven. And
I did not know that story. That is a fascinating, another great example.
Well, it just really is, and we've known so many people.
Well, your best friend, Pete Clater, you know.
My best friend that became like a father to me. I didn't have a father. He was just a Baptist deacon that picked me up at the airport in Lubbock when I went to First Baptist out there, and I was 22 or 3 years old. And he just kind of just moved in with me and became like a brother and like a father. And when he was dying, and he died in his 90s, I think he was I think he was 90, yeah, just a little over 90. And he said, "See him, Mama? See him? See him?" And they had a phone camera going.
Recording.
See him? See him? And boy, you could tell he could see him.
Yeah.
You know why we're talking about this, and I know why you're writing about it. It's not trying to prove a point. It's sharing beautiful testimonies of the reality of heaven,
yeah,
the reality of spiritual beings, yeah, and the spiritual kingdom, and yes, demonic power and reality, and angelic power, and just God's power, and everything that he says in his word. And Lee has shared it so beautifully. We share this because we want you to know the Father, the Father. He wants you to be in his family. And I'm going to spend the rest of my life, Lee, trying to get his family to look like him. Betty, I have led a lot of highly visible preachers that didn't like each other, preached against each other. I have been able to lead them to sit together like the family of the Father. And Lee, I watched them not only love the Father more, but begin to love one another.
Yeah.
Even though they may have had a disagreement.
Sure.
Serious disagreements.
Listen, and that's Jesus' prayer, that we would love one another.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And even when we disagree, you don't have to wish death on someone, speak death on them, yeah, speak curses on them, try to destroy them. Don't do that. Don't try to amputate them from the body of Christ. Do spiritual surgery on them. Talk to them about why you see what you see the way you see it. Let them tell you what they see, and you may see it differently. But don't you believe, Lee, we can disagree. One of us can be terribly wrong.
Yeah.
But don't you think that if Jesus could keep talking to those, yeah, disciples that could make a mess out of a miracle, don't you think it's amazing that he gave us that grace that we could do that for one another? Yeah. But we just seem reluctant to do it.
We do. And, you know, I was ordained in an interdenominational church, which means we held tight to the gospel and agreed to disagree on certain areas of Scripture that have different interpretations. So some people interpret it differently, and that's okay, as long as we hold tight to the gospel. And we can have a little different opinion about some of the peripheral matters of faith, but we hold tight to that gospel because that is where hope is. And in my book, I talk about cases where people have had near-death experiences, atheists who have horrific experiences. Howard Storm, an atheist, professor at a major secular university, tenured professor, dies in a hospital in England, and in his spirit separates, but he ends up being mauled by demons. He said, "No horror film can ever capture the cruelty they inflicted on me. It was unbelievable." And he called out to Jesus in the midst of that, and God rescued him. And when he was revived and his spirit returned to his body, he not only renounced his atheism, he not only quit his tenured position at the university, he not only became a Christian, he went to seminary, and today he's a pastor of a little church in the middle of nowhere in Kentucky, teaching people about Jesus Christ. That's the radical transformation. But we got to be honest and say, there is a heaven, there's also a hell.
Yeah.
And so let's make sure that we receive this free gift of God's grace so that we can spend eternity together.
Well, I think that's why we're here. We want you to know the life of God, the love of God. And you know what? We've encouraged viewers to help us share the love of God with the overlooked, to put his arms around those who thought no one would ever notice. And it's only the body of Christ, yeah, it's only the family of God that can put his arms, mm-hmm, around the world that desperately needs life. Would you right now consider helping us rescue those who are trafficked right now sexually, who need to be set free? Please listen to what I share and what others share and what you see literally on the mission field. Father, please, you bless this time as our viewers consider putting your arms around the overlooked.
Child sex trafficking is a devastating crime that affects millions of children worldwide, stealing their innocence and subjecting them to unimaginable pain.
A little missionary came to our church from Southeast Asia, and she said that you can get a little boy
and a little girl menu on the street corner, and you can rent them out for the night, for sex, for whatever you want to do with them. Mm. Do you know a child who's trafficked at age 12, before they're even old enough to get their driver's license, they've been raped at least 5,000 times?
Life Outreach International is partnering with missionaries around the world, like Carol Hart and her husband, Michael. They have dedicated their lives to rescuing children from the evils of sex trafficking. Working in cooperation with local authorities, their teams participate in raids to help free victims of sex trafficking. Rescuing children is only the beginning. What comes next changes lives forever.
The Child Rescue Center that Life Outreach built us, all the kids start there first. Right after rescue, they go to the Life Center there. If they don't have a safe place to go home, then the child will move to the long-term housing that Life Outreach built us. They'll grow there. They don't age out when they're ready for independent living. And they're safe. They can go on their own. Then we will help them transition.
Literally hundreds of precious children have been rescued and restored because of the dedication of mission partners like Carol and Michael Hart. But the work is not finished.
I'm not sure you know what it means, what you've done in the lives of children. Every day we find ourselves in the throne room of God praying for those kids who are waiting for rescue. Please, let's not grow weary in doing good. There's still so much work to be done. Let's do it together.
You know, that lady, Carol, and her husband have helped us rescue thousands of children and people who were trapped. It's been the most amazing thing. The Destiny House, perhaps one of the largest outreaches to the trafficked in the world. And they didn't build it. We found them, sent from Hollywood by God to rescue the trafficked. They sold everything. They rented houses. We found them. They had watched us and loved us on television, said we were a part of them, being inspired to go to the mission field. And they left Hollywood. And there we started helping them rent property. Then we helped them buy property and helped them build Destiny House and many other places. And right now in Asia, we have got a building that can house 50 girls in wonderful quarters if we can just complete it. We needed $1.5 million. We got half of it when we first asked for it. Now we need to complete it. We have so many right now that are just pleading for a place to go. And we have so many mission workers. They're saying, please, James, ask your viewers, ask the people that love you and what you do and what we all do to please help us. Would you right now, you know, in Rescue Life, it takes $128 to rescue one person. That's the average cost. $1,280, you can rescue 10 people. There's a level at which you can participate. We're asking every one of you watching to ask God right now, what do you want me to do? And what will you enable me to do? And then you go get your checkbook, get your bank card, call that number, go online, and make the greatest gift possible. And know that you're giving the absolute greatest gift. You're giving the gift of life. Not only life now and freedom, but life eternal through Jesus Christ. Father, help everyone watching to simply do what they can to help us put your arms around the least of these and the overlooked. In Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please do it right now? Just do what God leads you to do. He'll enable you to do it. And if you can help us complete that beautiful center, we need another $500,000 miracle. Father, grant that through your faithful friends of life in Jesus' name. Thank you so much for responding to God.
Innocent children longing to be loved and cared for are being abducted and sold into the evil industry of human trafficking. Through Mission Rescue Life, your gift today of only $128 will help reach, rescue, or restore a child and change their destiny forever. Gifts of $64 or $32 will be combined with support from others to help rescue one more child from the shame and pain of sexual slavery. Currently, our Life Rescue Centers in Southeast Asia are at maximum capacity, More space is urgently needed, and we must complete and renovate a new rescue home immediately. Please consider a very special extra gift, as we urgently need $1.25 million above our normal budget to complete and renovate this place of hope. With a gift of any amount, we'll send you power, provision, and peace, bringing together the life-changing truths of Acts, Romans, and 1st and 2nd Corinthians in the Passion Translation. These books come alive with fresh revelation and timeless power. With your gift of $128 or more, you'll receive the beautiful and soft Perfect Peace Blanket, bearing the words of Isaiah 26:3 as a meaningful reminder that those who trust in the Lord are never alone. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,280, which will help save 10 children. And you may request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Lion of Judah. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
Let me just say thank you to all of you who helped us reach out and put God's arms around those traffic girls and helped us get that incredible building to give a girl a room and a home she's never had. We really do need some big-time help. Father, Betty and I are in agreement right now. Just give us some supernatural help. In Jesus' name. Lee, you're a tremendous blessing, and you will enjoy this book. You help us put God's arms around those who are trafficked and overlooked. And if you want the book, you just ask for it. We'll send it to you. Lee's going to be with us in another program, and you're going to enjoy it. You'll always enjoy our times together. Lee, God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank
guys.
You for being
it's so
such
great
a blessing
to see you.
To us and to so many. Mm-hmm. Thank you for being a blessing to so many. The overlooked, the least of these. Thank you.
At Life Outreach, we believe in making a lasting impact on your life and the lives of others. Through life planning services, we offer estate planning and giving solutions that provide tax advantages, income, and the satisfaction of supporting a cause close to your heart. With options like bequests, charitable gift annuities, and IRA rollovers, you can chart a purposeful path, creating a legacy of love and hope for future generations. Call or visit Life Planning Services today.
My ex-husband was intoxicated. He had a gun in his hand.
Kimberly Haar experienced a night of sheer terror next week.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.